morning, everyone. I want to greet each of you in the name of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ, and ask that as I introduce my brother and yours, Elder Benny Case, the speaker of this hour, I ask that you would lift him up in prayer, that as Jeff has requested also in his opening prayer, that the Lord would be with him, with us, that this service might be guided by the Holy Spirit, that Benny's mind and his mouth, his heart would be inspired by the Holy Spirit, and that we would be open and receptive, able to hear these things and apply them to our life, be blessed by them. And as always, we would give the glory to our Savior. So with that, I would turn the service over to Elder Benny Case.
Thanks, Jerry, and I appreciate all the prayers and the consideration that you all have. In studying, I was having a hard time getting my mind to stay on track. And I guess it's something, I've got more reading material than I think I can fit in, but last night, something happened that kind of changed a little bit of the way I was thinking about this, and that is, Candace is on the phone, and her family, I think she's probably taken Brandon to work now, but their littlest one, Samuel, was, doing what little boys do, and he came and started handing me building blocks. And I just was thinking sometimes how we don't really recognize the fact that we, from a religious standpoint, are assembling building blocks. We go from piece by piece in our knowledge. We learn how to build our relationship with Jesus. We learn how to build our families. We learn how the family of God and our family that we live with every day are supposed to mirror each other. We learn these little things as steps as we go. So I wanted to start out reading, kind of to me, the very basis. And I'm going to go to the book of Moroni in the 7th chapter in the Book of Mormon here. And I'm going to start with the 13th verse. So that's Moroni chapter 7, verse 13, starting. For behold, my brethren, it is given unto you to judge, that ye may know good from evil. And the way to judge is as plain, that ye may know with a perfect knowledge, as the daylight is from the dark night. For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man, that they may know good from evil. Wherefore, I show unto you the way to judge, for everything which inviteth to do good and to persuade to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and gift of Christ. Wherefore you may know with a perfect knowledge it is of God. But whatsoever thing persuadeth men to do evil and believe not in Christ and deny him and serve not God, then you may know with a perfect knowledge it is of the devil. For after this manner doth the devil work. For he persuadeth no man to do good, no, not one. Neither doth his angels, neither do they who subject themselves to him. And now, my brethren, seeing that ye know the light by which ye may judge, which light is the light of Christ, see that ye do not judge wrongfully. For with the same judgment which ye judge, ye shall also be judged. Therefore I beseech you, brethren, that ye should search diligently in the light of Christ, that you may know good from evil. And if you will lay hold upon every good thing and condemn it not, he certainly will be a child of Christ. Now, my brethren, how is it possible that you can lay hold upon every good thing? And now I come to that faith of which I said I would speak. I will tell you the way whereby you may lay hold on every good thing. For behold, God, knowing all things, being from everlasting to everlasting, behold, he sent angels to minister unto the children of men to make manifest concerning the coming of Christ, and in Christ there should come every good thing. And God also declared unto prophets by his own mouth that Christ should come. And behold, there were divers ways that he did manifest things unto the children of men, which were good, and all things which are good cometh of Christ. Otherwise men were fallen, and there could no good thing come unto them. Wherefore, by the ministering of angels, and by every word which proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God, men began to exercise faith in Christ, and thus by faith they did lay hold upon every good thing. And thus it was until the coming of Christ. And after that he came, men also were saved by faith in his name, and by faith they became the sons of God. And as sure as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our fathers, saying, Whatsoever thing ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is good, in faith believing that you shall receive, behold, it shall be done unto you. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased, because Christ hath ascended into heaven, and hath sat down on the right hand of God, to claim of the Father his rights of mercy, which he hath upon the children of men? For he hath answered the ends of the law, and he claimeth all those who have faith in him. And they who have faith in him will cleave unto every good thing. Wherefore, he advocateth the cause of the children of men, and he dwelleth eternally in the heavens. And because he hath done this, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased? Behold, I say unto you, nay, neither have angels ceased to minister unto the children of men. For behold, they are subject unto him, to minister according to the word of his command, showing themselves unto them of strong faith and a firm mind in every form of godliness. And the office of their ministry is to call men unto repentance, to fulfill and to do the work of the covenants of the Father, which he hath made unto the children of men, to prepare the way among the children of men, by declaring the word of Christ unto the chosen vessels of the Lord, that they may bear testimony of him. And by so doing, the Lord God prepareth the way that the residue of men may have faith in Christ, that the Holy Ghost may have place in their hearts according to the power thereof. And after this manner bringeth to pass the Father the covenants which he hath made unto the children of men. And Christ hath said, If you will have faith in me, ye shall have power to do whatsoever thing is expedient in me. And he hath said, Repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, and have faith in me, that ye may be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, if this be the case, that these things are true, which I have spoken unto you, and God will show unto you with power and with great glory at the last day, and they are true, that they are true, and if they are true, hath the day of miracles ceased? Or have angels ceased to appear unto the children of men? Or has he withheld the power of the Holy Ghost from them? Or will he, so long as time shall last, or the earth shall stand, or there shall be one man upon the face thereof to be saved? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. For it is by faith that miracles are wrought, and it is by faith that angels appear and minister unto men. Wherefore, if these things have ceased, woe be unto the children of men, for it is because of unbelief, and all is vain, for no man can be saved according to the words of Christ, save they shall have faith in his name. Wherefore, if these things have ceased, then has faith ceased also. And awful is the state of man, for they are as though there had been no redemption made. But behold, my beloved brethren, I judge better things of you, for I judge that ye have faith in Christ because of your meekness. For if ye have not faith in him, then ye are not fit to be numbered among the people of the church. And again, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you concerning hope. How is it that ye can have attain unto faith, save ye shall have hope? And what is it that ye shall hope for? But behold, I say unto you, that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ, and the power of his resurrection, to be raised unto life eternal, and this because of your faith in him according to the promise. Wherefore, if a man have faith, he must needs have hope. For without faith, there cannot be any hope. And I'm going to stop there just for a minute because, you know, he spent a lot of time here talking about the very basics that in order for anything to happen, we have to have faith. You know, and we've been studying in our Sunday school about, you know, different schools of thought, and the fact remains that it comes down to a point, you just simply have to believe. There's nothing that ever fully takes the place of faith. We can have knowledge in bits and pieces here and there. We can learn things where we can observe them. We can, you know, then at that point have a perfect knowledge in that thing. But it never takes the place of the overall need for us to have a very basic, fundamental faith. And then, what do we do with that faith? Well, we use that faith to hope for something. The question is, what is it that we hope for? We have to have hope, or else the faith doesn't do good. So now we're going to talk about what is it that we hope for. Wherefore, if a man have faith, he must needs have hope, for without faith there cannot be any hope. And again, behold, I say unto you, that he cannot have faith and hope, save he shall be meek and lowly of heart. If so, his faith and hope are vain, for none is acceptable before God save the meek and lowly of heart. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart, and convinced by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore, he must needs have charity. So, you know, now he's again, we're talking about these basic building blocks that are inside of us, that put things together for us. This meekness and lowliness of heart, this humbleness, level of humility, that keeps us focused. And now we're going to talk about charity. And I know in a lot of the newer versions of the Bible, when it says charity, it just says love. I really like the word charity because of the fact that it's a specific type of love that we're talking about. It's so easy to confuse, you know, everybody uses the word love, but what is that love? And this is one of my favorite scriptures because it tells us exactly what it is. And charity suffereth long and is kind and envieth not and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ. And it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen. And so we have this very basic, I guess I'll call it a relationship. We've done our best talks to build a relationship with Jesus Christ and with his Father. So now that we have this basic relationship, what do we do with it? Well, I'm going to take us over to some of Paul's writings, and I'm going to go to Ephesians. And, you know, quite often we pick verses out, but I'm going to attempt to read three chapters here, the fourth, fifth, and sixth chapters of Ephesians. And the reason being is because each chapter kind of adds more on, and it dovetails in our relationship with Jesus, our relationship with the church, and our relationship with families, being our relationships with husbands and wives, and our relationships with children and parents. So I'm going to read this and hopefully show how these basic building blocks, you keep stacking them on top of each other. You know, and we, when we're small children, we have the very basics of building our faith. And as we get older, we have a little knowledge on that. And so, yeah, it amazes me how Paul was able to, in one letter here in Ephesians, put a lot of the layers together. So I'm going to start here with the first verse of chapter 4 in Ephesians. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So with this first sentence, he's drawing in some of these same things that Mormon talked about back in Moroni, that how they work together, the lowliness and the meekness, and the fact that working together in love, and this is the love that he's talking about, I'm quite sure, is this charity. And we're working to keep this unity of spirit. And it's one of the things that yesterday a young man came over to the house here because I'm working with him on his last couple of merit badges for his Eagle. And we were talking about Abraham Lincoln and what kind of drove the man. You know, because there's lots of things that were important to him. And slavery was important to him, to abolish slavery, because he saw it as wrong. He could see that, and so that was one of the things, that's why he came out with the abolition, the Emancipation Proclamation. But then, a war ensued. A war that divided the very country. And the fact that what drove Abraham Lincoln was the preservation of the Union. In the Gettysburg Address, you know, he started out, and it was 87 years after the Declaration of Independence. It was 47 years ago. Our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation. liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. And you know, he talked about the fact that we're gathered together on a battlefield. We're now engaged in this great conflict to determine whether that nation, our nation, or any nation so conceived in this liberty and equality can long endure. Can we make it last? And his firm belief was that God had consecrated this nation and given us this opportunity for this grand experiment on freedom and equality, and that it wasn't like some of the people thought, well, okay, if they want to go do their own thing, let's just, draw a line down the middle of the country and let it go. He firmly believed that it was important in the eyes of God to keep the union together. That sometimes this forbearing one another in love created conflict, but that the necessity was to keep the nation together. And it was just one of those little things that the man, the other things that were on his plate, that the preservation of the Union was his top priority. So let's continue on. And I'm not trying to make anything extra special out of Abraham Lincoln, other than to say that we have had leaders of this nation who, in spite of the conflicts with their party and the other parties, were wrought upon by God with clarity of thought and singleness of purpose. And that we too need to be seeking for that guidance, that clarity, and that singleness. So I'm going to keep on going here with verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I'm going to stop there for just a minute, because he's trying very hard to help us to understand the way we were and the way we need to now be. That we're not easily confused, that we're not driven by, you know, the tricks of the world and how they make things seem attractive, but that we work together to come to this unity of faith. That we have these gifts of the ministry, and their purpose is to help us on that path. And it's just some basic rules of conduct. Now I'm going to continue on here at 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, every man, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And I'm going to back up here again, because these are just some very basic things about don't lie. We need to all be honest and truthful with each other, because we're part of each other. One of the things that happened this week in Haiti that really touched me was, after all of this devastation and death, people didn't have homes, things like that, and there was frustration, and there was all these predictions of these horrible riots and terrible things, and maybe some of those things will come past, I don't know. But after the media was in this frenzy of almost as if they were trying to will it to be so that they would have something to report, that, you know, maybe it'd be like in the U.S. where every time somebody doesn't get what they want, they start murdering people and stealing things and burning things down. There was a massive demonstration in Haiti. People marching through the streets among the dead, singing hymns. They were doing what they could to lift each other up, to encourage each other to keep going, after they themselves had endured so much pain and suffering. Not seeking what they could consume on their own personal lust, how they could get more and have somebody else have less, but demonstrating their sense of community, to work together, to encourage, to uplift. And I thought, you know, I wish we could could all take a lesson from that to learn to rely on God, to lift up our hands, and to encourage our brothers even while we suffer. You know, and the thing here about be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. We need to take that to heart, because we all get angry. That's part of human nature. We do that. But don't leave an opening for the devil. Get over it. There's ways to do it, ways to deal with it. You know, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Get over it. Move on. Because you harbor that, it gives an opening to the devil to get in there, to cause bitterness, for things to happen. And he's just simply trying to give us guidance here. Just don't leave yourselves open to that. You know, and those who have stolen, stop. Work so that you have something, so that those who are in need, you can give. And continue on. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, that ye be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, we always have to remember that we need to treat others the way we would like to be treated, that we'd like to be forgiven, so it's incumbent upon us to forgive. You know, that we have to keep constantly in the forefront of our mind that God has forgiven us for the sake of His Son, because we ask. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. And it's interesting that they talk about jesting, which are not convenient, because there's a time for a good joke, and there's a time to put joking aside. And we need to think about that sometimes, because, and I guess I'll have to say I need to think about that sometimes, because I'm prone to see things in a very funny way, but there's sometimes where it's very important that I keep my mouth shut and keep that to myself, because it would very much detract from what's going on, because there's a more important lesson to be learned. And it's important for me, I know, and so I'm going to assume that at least one other person within my hearing, under my voice, has that same issue, that we need to watch what we say, because sometimes when there's a serious lesson in the process, the fact that we thought of something funny does not mean that it needs to be spoken. Now moving on, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And I'm going to stop there and kind of back up again a little bit, because we go through these things and we prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. We know what's right and what's wrong. And we know that some of these things, I mean, you hear about, and it's just shameful even to talk about it sometimes. You think about it, it's just horrible, some of these things that people do. And that's why we're called upon not to have fellowship with those types of things, and to reprove them, say that's wrong. We need to be willing to speak against wrongdoing all the time. And that doesn't mean to be antagonistic. It just means to recognize wrongdoing when we see it. And when somebody invites us in, to say, no, I can't partake of that. You guys, what you're doing is wrong. I can't do that. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might represent it, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
What's blemish?
Blemish can be almost anything that, from a scratch to a smudge to a growth to a pimple, a blemish is just something that makes imperfect, if you will. But thinking about this, I'm going to talk to the husbands here for a minute. You know, Jesus was working that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself the glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You know, there'd be no fault in it. And husbands, this is something that we need to think about, presenting to ourselves a wife, because we have given her proper care, taking care of her so that she wouldn't have spot or wrinkle. And by that, I'm not talking about makeup and Botox. I'm talking about real things, that we don't give her cause for bitterness, that we don't do things that put her in a position where she can be tempted, that we do those things to care for her soul's welfare, that we nourish our relationship with her, even as Christ nourishes his relationship with us as a church, that we would give her cause to rejoice in her relationship with us, that while we do have expectations of each other, that as husbands, we bring the expectation of ourselves, that we nourish that relationship so that our wife rejoices in that relationship, that she's glad that we are her husband, not that she is enduring her marriage to us, but that she is relishing that marriage. And sometimes I think we get away from that, and we need to stay focused on it. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. You know, it's like this relationship between husbands and wives is a pretty in-depth thing, but at the same time that he's given you these things, he's actually talking about Christ and the church, but he's given us this example because it's something that for the most part we can relate to very personally, and we can see how it bears out. Again, building blocks. We're building this relationship with Jesus, we're building this knowledge within ourselves, we're building our family, we are building our church, we are becoming the body of Christ. And if you want to even talk about it from a fitness standpoint, we are making the body of Christ, this bride of Christ, with all these parts, and we talked about the joints compacted, everything working the way it should. We're putting it together so that we have a fit bride for Christ. That the church works because all of the parts work together, not against each other, but as a unit, in unity. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long upon the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And so, you know, here we are, we're talking about how to treat our children, and we're talking children, how you respect your parents, and then on your job, how you treat your masters in the working world, whatever company you work for. And it's sometimes difficult because many of us from time to time have worked for managers who were not the best managers. But at the same time, we're called to treat them based on what we know as Christians, not based on how they act as managers. Not with eye service as men pleasers. Yeah, the whole idea isn't to appear to be a good employee, appear to be respectful to our management, but to actually do it, even if we don't think they deserve it. Because it's not about what they deserve, it's about what we know is our code of personal conduct. Now, throughout this whole morning, I'm going to keep coming back to that, is that our whole purpose here is our personal conduct. That we know what we are called to do, that is what drives our action. Not what we see the world do, not how somebody else treats us, but what we know is what God wants us to do. I'm going to go back here. I guess, verse 9. And you masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And that's the thing that we need to understand, that is what Christ wants us. When the smoke clears, he wants us left standing. Standing in our conviction and our relationship to him. And that's why he's provided us this armor. And, I know that we've gone through this many times, but it's very important for us to understand that he's given us this specific instruction. He's given us these things for us to rely on so that we can stand firm in his strength. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Remember how we started our day with the building block. And we've got faith here. We've talked about truth. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychius, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. So, I know that I've done just a whole lot of reading today, and hopefully I didn't bore you too much, but I wanted to try to see if we could look at these building blocks, that we take our very basic, our faith, and build on it the hope and that love, that charity, which is the pure love of Jesus Christ, the way we treat each other, the way we treat our children, the way we treat our spouses, the way we treat our parents, the way we treat our bosses, the way we treat our employees, the way we treat our brothers and sisters in the church, so that we are what Jesus truly wants us to be, a living testimony of His truth. So, as you go about your week, and you see the things that come in the news, the daily struggle, look for those things that demonstrate the hand of God is moving. And be encouraged by it, because it is there. And thank you for your time.